you, brother. Good. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, good morning. Good to see you this morning in the house of God. Well, I tell you, I have enjoyed myself. I've enjoyed just being around you folks and around your pastor and his wife, and praise the Lord for what God is doing here. You know, how you and I respond to what we hear and what we see this week may very well determine if some people will hear the gospel or those people will die having never heard the gospel. That's pretty serious, isn't it, when you think about it? And very, very serious. And I trust the Lord will help us to take it serious as well. Somebody said, well, what is missions? Well, certainly at the least, missions is someone going somewhere and telling somebody about Jesus. Amen? Now, it's a lot more than that, because it not only involves witnessing and soul winning, but it involves discipleship, it involves baptism, it involves the planting of New Testament churches, it involves the training of national pastors around the world, it involves a lot of things. But I'm just glad the Lord lets me be a little part of it. Amen? In a lot of ways, through what I do, how I pray, how I give, and I hope that you're praying about your faith promise. I want you to turn to Matthew 28 this morning. We'll try to use our time wisely this morning and let you out right on time. Amen? You know, I always believe in a missions conference, a meeting like this, three things should happen. Number one, we should be informed. We ought to learn some things. Amen? Well, I tell you, I've been informed in some things this week, and I'm glad that I've learned some things, because I want to know what God's doing, don't you all, around the world, and I want to know that. But not only to be informed, but we need to be inspired. It needs to do something in our heart. Don't just look for information. Man, look for inspiration. Amen? And let God work in your heart and move you and say, Lord, what can I do about that? What part do I have, Lord? And your conference title says, well, your heart will determine your part. Yeah, your heart will determine your part. I thought I had it backwards there for a second. But anyway, but you know what? We want to be informed, want to be inspired. We want information, but we want inspiration. But I'm going to tell you, we got to get involved. Not only informed and inspired, but involved. And do something about it. Man, I tell you, we don't want to be these hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. Amen? Well, we're going to have kind of a little topical type message this morning, but I'm going to give you a test this morning as a church. And I figured first thing in the morning would be a good time to give a test. I need a lady who will keep score for me. Will somebody do that for me? All right, God bless you, sister. And there are four essentials that every church, in any church, no matter where it is, has to have a good missions program. And what I want to do is I want to give y'all a test this morning and see if y'all pass the test. Now, if you say, well, preacher, we're probably just kind of average, we'll have at least two of them, well, then you don't have a good missions program. You say, well, I think we're better than average, preacher. We'll have at least three of them. Well, you don't have a good missions program. You got to have all four, and our sister there is going to keep a record of it as we go through this. But okay, how about that? Now, God has blessed us. I mean, you're here this morning. God's blessed you just by being here and living in the country you live in, and you have nice clothes to wear, and you got some transportation to get here, and beautiful building, and heat or cooling, whatever we need. Amen? But we're going to be challenging you to stretch your faith this year about faith promise giving. See, it's based on two principles. Certainly, God's ability to supply the money to you that maybe otherwise He wouldn't give you. And second, it's got to be your faith to believe that He'll use you to give. But you'll be given to people that you may never see on this side of eternity. You'll be given to people that speak a different language, but God understands their language very well. Amen? You'll be given to people that look totally different than you, but God's the one that made them all. Amen? And so people are dying by the millions, really. Japan, India, New Zealand, Brazil, all over the world, Asia, the Middle East, Cambodia, the Congos, Paraguay, all over the world, people will die on this date on the calendar. And most of those people will not be saved people. Some of those people have heard the gospel and rejected, and some of them have never had an opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Now, let's see if you pass the test this morning, because if you lack one, you don't have a good missions program, okay? Wow, that's getting pretty serious here first thing in the morning, preacher. Well, just stay with me. I think we're going to be all right this morning. I believe God is an orderly God. If you don't believe that, just look at how He put the planets in the heavens and how they rotate and they're in perfect formation. The sunset. If you ask a meteorologist, say, could you tell me when sunset's going to be 3 years from now on such and such a month and on such and such a day? Did you know He can tell you that? And you know why He can tell you that? It's not because He's so smart. It's because God is so orderly. And God does things in order. If you want to go fishing down at the coast, now you don't want to go too quick. They're still cleaning up down there, according to my brother I talked to yesterday. But anyway, if you want to go to the coast, you said, I'd like to arrive right at high tide. I just like fishing in high tide. But I'm not going for 3 years. Could you tell me when high tide is going to be 3 years from now? They can tell you that. Isn't that amazing? And it's supposed to operate with the moon, I understand. But anyway, I'm just saying that God, we would expect God, if He wants us to do world evangelism, that He would tell us how to do it in His Word, and it would be an orderly way to do it. So here's the first test to have a good missions program. A good missions program, you have to have a plan that's workable. Now, let's talk about that plan a little bit. First of all, how you come up with a plan? You say, well, we have a missions committee, or we have a group of men or ladies or whatever, and we just sit down and kind of hash it out and work on it and decide what our plan is, our strategy is. Well, actually, you're not to do that, because God has already done that for us. God has given us a plan. So go ahead and give you a check mark on the first one, sister, because God took care of this one for you. Amen. And He gave us a plan in the Bible, and it's called the Great Commission, that we're to go into all the world and make disciples. We're to win people to Jesus Christ. When they get saved, they make a public testimony through baptism and other things about baptism, of course. And then they get into a local assembly of people, and they're taught the Word of God. And they're taught not only knowledge, but they're taught to obey or observe what they've been taught. Amen? And so God has a plan called the Great Commission. You say, well, I don't know if I quite understand all of that. Well, I challenge you to start in Acts chapter 1. Read through the book of Acts, and then the epistles will help you with it too. But read the book of Acts, and you'll see the Great Commission being carried out. And you can learn exactly how to do it and your part in it. So first of all, you got to have a plan that's workable, and God has given us the most wonderful plan. He's laid it out in His Word. We don't even have, I mean, we ought to pray that God will help us carry it out, but we don't have to pray about what it is. We don't have to say, well, we got to figure it out. We'll have a committee meeting. We don't have to do any of that, because He's put it in His Word. And let's just read one version of it right here in verse number 18, Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, if He has it all, then you can't have any power unless you get it from Him. Amen. And guess what? He gives us that. But He says, Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. And you have good authority to go, and you have the power to go, and teach all nations, making disciples of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. There you have the Trinity, teaching them, these people that you win to the Lord, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then God says, if you'll do what I tell you, I'll make you a promise. What's that promise, Lord? I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You go on visitation in your Jerusalem, you're not by yourself. God's promised to go with you. Amen. You try to get your visa to go to the mission field. Boy, this is a hard one to get. I'm telling you, God's with you in that thing. When that plane arrives on a foreign field and you and your family get off, God was there before you ever got there. Amen. In fact, He went with you. I'm just saying that God made a promise. So we got to have a plan that's workable. And that's an easy one, because God supplied the plan. Okay? But if all you have is a plan, you hadn't done a thing yet. And this plan is gigantic. I mean, this plan is huge. I mean, he holds y'all responsible and me responsible to reach every creature on planet Earth. I mean, we're responsible for that. So, man, Lord, what you're asking us to do is beyond us. I mean, there's just no way in the world. I mean, how can we reach the world? Well, now you got to have a second thing. He's told you what to do and how to do it, but now you need not only a plan that's workable, but a power that will enable you to do it. And you say a power, yep. You say, well, where in the world do we get the power? Well, you probably already know that, but we get that from God. He supplies the power. Now, let me give you just three sources, if I could. And Paul always asked for, he was always asking for prayer that the Word of God would progress and workers would be protected and all these things. But I'm telling you, we need God's power. Amen? Now, let me give you three sources of power. God is the ultimate source, but God has at least three, and I'm sure others, but three ways that He empowers us. Number one, the Holy Scriptures. Do you realize that I hold in my hand the Word of the living God, the breath of God, and the Bible says in Acts 1:8, Acts 1:8, listen to what it says, and it's so familiar, we won't turn there. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, why is the Holy Ghost going to come upon us? Well, He's going to come for this reason, that you shall be witnesses unto Him. Well, where are we going to be witnesses at? We don't even have to guess at that. The Lord said, I want you to do it in Jerusalem. By the way, I want you to do it in Judea and Samaria. In fact, I want you to do it to the uttermost part, go as far as you can go in the world. I want you to go to everybody. So He's given us the Holy Script. I'm sorry, I done quoted the verse on the Holy Spirit. Holy Scriptures. Let's finish the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sorry. Listen, I'm not used to preaching at 9:15. I'm still getting matter out of my eyes tonight. But anyway, sorry about that. So He's given us the Holy Spirit. Amen. And He indwells every believer. Listen, the Spirit of God, same power that raised Jesus from the dead, God has given us power, the Holy Spirit's power to help us, enable us to be a witness for Christ. That's why when people say, well, I'm just too timid. Well, then you just need to get with God and let God help you. Now, we're all timid to some degree, amen? But God, the Holy Spirit's power, He'll help you be a witness where you are and on the mission field if God so leads you to go there. Then the second power and source of power is Holy Scripture. You remember what Paul said in Romans 1? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation. The very Word of God, the very book, and the truth of that book, the gospel message that I share with sinners, first of all, I have God in me, helping me, and the Word of God has power inherent in it. So as I'm sharing the gospel, I have power within me, but the Scriptures I'm sharing has power. It's the power of God unto salvation. There's another power, and you may come up with another one. If you do, tell me after the service, I'll add it to my sermon. Not only the Holy Spirit and Holy Scriptures, but how about holy supplication? How about prayer? Oh, the weapon of prayer. And we preached on that the other night about getting us all to enroll if we hadn't enrolled to enroll in this school of prayer. My goodness, call unto me and I will answer thee. Pretty good promise. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God can do abundantly above what we could ever think or imagine. I tell you, people go to the mission field and they say, well, I don't think we'll do much here, or it maybe, you know, take three generations to plant a church. Well, don't let anybody tell you that. It may take you a long time to plant a church. I don't know. But let me tell you, God is able to do beyond what we could ever imagine or think. I'm telling you, I think I told you about the church in Belgium. Unbelievable, just thrilling. But God has to do that. So, we got to have a plan. And you got to have power. By the way, sister, chalk up the next one. Y'all got the next one because God gave it to you. Isn't that amazing? You know, God's doing all this for you. That's pretty good. Amen. So you got to have a plan. God's given it to us. You got to have power. God supplied that. And the third thing you got to have people who are willing. And I'm looking at people right now. Pretty good crowd here for 8:45, I think. Amen. I'm looking at people. Look, if you would, please, at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew, turn back if you're still at 28. Turn back to Matthew chapter 9. One of the great, I think it's a great passage in the, oh, all of them are great. I used to tell my students, man, this is a great book of the Bible. They say, preacher, you say that about all the books. I say, well, they're all great. Amen. Look at verse number. Jesus is talking here about having compassion on people, and then he comes to verse 37. His first illustration is of a flock of sheep. Now he turns to a field of grain. Verse 37, then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Now listen, that was in Jesus' day. These are the words of Jesus. It's a greater population today, the harvest is. But it's truly as plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, that was a problem in Jesus' day, and it's still a problem in our day. And you got to have people who are willing. And I'm looking at people right now. I'm looking at people. So you've got people here, amen? It's not like you don't have any people. So sister, give you a third one. You got a third one. You get a home, you get knock a home run on the third one too. But you got to have some people who are willing to go, and you've had people to go. And I praise the Lord for that. I thank God for this church and its heart for missions. Now, you may have to do God's will. You may have to go across a world. You may have to go across the culture. You may have to cross the ocean. You may have to learn a language. You may have to get used to a new country. You may have to do all. But listen, that's God's plan, and He'll give you the power, amen, if you're just willing to surrender to go. But then everybody's not going to go, and God, I don't think God wants everybody to go. He wants some to go, and maybe more than what we're sending, but He wants some to send them, amen. The local church sends missionaries. And we help sustain missionaries. And so I trust you'll be a blessing as people in the church. It's not just the missionaries go that we need. It's people that'll send them, people that'll encourage them. I mean, you can encourage them personally. You can encourage them with the pen. I'll use the word pen, even though you might not use a pen. You might use a computer, an email, or a text or something. You can encourage them that way. And I tell you, one way you can encourage them is with your purse and giving. And one of the things we're going to do this morning, pastor's going to do, this church is going to do, I'm not going to do it, but y'all are going to do it. I'm involved in it, have been for 40-some years, but you're going to take up a faith promise offering. Now, preacher, I should have asked you this before, but I think I know you well enough, I'll ask you and I won't embarrass you. This faith promise, people are going to give. Are y'all going to use that money to put tires on your van? You wouldn't do that. Maybe give preacher a raise? Not even going to do that, eh? Maybe pay a light bill? Are you telling me you're going to use 100% of it for missions? Well, praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? So every dime you give will go to the work of Christ in winning people, teaching people, establishing churches. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing when you're in a church that every dime you give, you know exactly where it's going. You've had these people to call you up. Would you, I mean, worthy causes, cancer, the highway patrol, retirement fund, you know. And I said, well, if you'll stop giving tickets, I'll give. Amen. But anyway, I mean, these are worthy things. But you know what I started asking? And they, I think by law, they're supposed to tell you if you ask. And I ask. I said, sir, I'm for the highway patrol. I've had to call you on an occasion. And I said, I appreciate what y'all do in keeping the road safe. And I said, could you tell me what percent of what I'm going to give today, if I give, will go directly to you folks? Well, 12% will go to us. And 88% will go to the fundraising. In fact, he wasn't even a highway patrolman. But anyway, maybe he had been or something. But anyway, only 12%. I find that if you can find something that's given 70 or 80%, boy, that is high, high, high dollar right there. Most of them don't do that. But here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, 100% of everything you put on that card and God blesses you to give will go right into the missions and right out of this church. It's the most unselfish giving we ever do. We don't keep it here. I used to have people say, preacher, we need some new vans. And, you know, if we didn't give so much to missions, and we did, I said, listen, you can't outgive God. He won't let you. I said, He won't let you outgive Him. The Bible says, this is Bible, the Bible says that God is no man's debtor. And brother, let me tell you something. He's not going to be indebted to you or me. We're going to be indebted to Him. Amen. You can't outgive God. And then your prayers. Oh, your prayers. And we've talked about that, and I won't rehearse that. We'll just move on. And I need to move a little quicker, and I'm moving. So you got 3 out of 3. Man, this last one here, let's see what's going to happen. You not only need a plan, God's give you that. It's called the Great Commission. You got to have power. He's given us the Scriptures. He's given us the Spirit of God. He's given us prayer, supplication. And then you got to have people. And I see people. I'm looking at people, so you got them. Now you got to have provision. It takes monies. Now, I'm going to ask you to trust me this morning because I'm going to preach again. I think you're going to let me preach again at the final service. He's about got his nerve up. I think he's pretty close. But anyway, in Philippians 4, and for sake of time, because I got a few things I need to say, and I'm going to say those other things in the next service, monies. I'll bet you that most people in this building this morning has some money with you. Most of you, a lot of you, have money in the bank, different places. So guess what? God's already provided that. Sister, would you give a check on the fourth one? I believe y'all have knocked a home run on all four of them. So you're already given faith promise. You got monies. God uses that. I believe there are different types of giving in the Bible. I believe the primary types of giving in the Bible, in the first two is Old Testament and New Testament, and that is the tithe and the offering. But in the New Testament, there's introduced to us a new way of giving, and we call it grace giving or faith promise giving. And it is giving that you will give. You'll give your tithes, you'll give your offerings to your local church. I do all my giving through my local church. I don't send it to Tom Dooley on the radio. I mean, I just don't do any of that. I just send it right here to my local church because I want to know where it's going. Amen? And so I give it. It belongs to God, and I believe that's scriptural. Paul said on the first day of the week, let everyone lay by him in store, and he was talking about the faith promise. Give it in the local church. But faith promise. Now, the tithe is a fixed amount. It's 10%. The offering fluctuates based on maybe what's going on in the church. It's sometimes just an expression of your love for God and how He has saved your soul and blesses you and helps you. You just want to give more than a tithe. Or there may be a project going on that you're giving to. But then faith promise is faith. The key word there is faith. I'm going to trust God. Now, you can trust God to stretch your faith. You can say, well, I've got it all figured out. I got it figured out. I've checked how much I'm paying on my bills and so forth. And I'm pretty sure we can very easily give a certain amount. Well, that's fine. If that's between you and the Lord and that's what God wants you, that's fine. But you'll never, never know the joy of faith. You say, well, you can't give what you don't have. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that. Because you can, but only one way you can do it, and that's by faith. And you'll have to decide between you and God. Faith promise is a plan designed by God. It's found in our New Testament. And it's based on two facts, two great principles of the Bible. Faith, our faith in God, and God's ability to work through us to supply the financial needs for world evangelism through churches just like Emmanuel and people just like y'all. Young and old alike. Men and women. Now, I believe that when we give, I believe that God will give to you and meet your needs. And we're going to preach a little bit about that this later service. But God will put some things in your bucket that He'll let you keep to meet your needs. But God not only wants you to have a bucket, He wants you to have a funnel. Because He wants to give you some monies that's not for you. You know, a funnel has open ends on both ends. So He'll put it in here, and it'll come down, and it'll go out to somebody else. The bucket, you get to keep it, and you pay your rent with it. You do the things you need to do, and so forth. Now, if I was going to give the faith promise, I'd have at least 3 questions I'd want to ask. And I got about 14 minutes, and I can do it, I believe. Question number one, I would want to know, is it scriptural? Does the Bible teach the principle of faith? And they took up an offering. And by the way, the what we base faith promise on was not an offering that was going to be given to a missionary to go to a particular place and do missions. But I believe missions was involved in it because it was an offering that Paul challenged all the churches to give, told them how to do it. He said, I want you to do it on the first day of the week. I want every one of y'all to consider doing it. I want you to place money in the church for this offering every week for 1 year. That's why we do it for a year. That's why we do it weekly. Why do you do it weekly on the first day? Because that's when the church meets. So it's something that's not spontaneous. It's something you pray about. It's something that's systematic. You decide about what you're going to give. And what they did with that offering, they took it down to Judea to help the saints out that were really going through it down there. And by the way, if we can help them, guess what? They'll be better able to do what? Reach their community. Brother, that's where Jerusalem to the uttermost part. It started in Jerusalem. So we're going to help those folks down there, and in turn, they're going to be better able to reach their community. I believe that. Now, there were other reasons why they helped them. Now, is it scriptural? Please trust me to the next service. Number two question, is faith promise giving sensible? Well, preacher, it doesn't really make a... Maybe you're new. I'm struggling with whether it's reasonable or sensible because I'm going to put on a card. And by the way, you don't put names on them, right, preacher? See, it's between you and the Lord. It's not between you and the preacher. It's between you and the Lord. And you fill out cards so they can make plans on how they... You know, it's orderly. God's an orderly God, and that's what church wants to do. But... Preacher, I'm going to put an amount on there that I hope you've prayed about and asked God to lay something on your heart and let Him stretch your faith. That's good. You're going to put it down there, but I'm going to turn it in, but how do I know if I'm going to even have a job next week? I could be fired. Or I could have a major health issue this year sometimes and be out of work for a long time. So I don't know how I can say I'm going to give and I have all those uncertainties. Called faith. You've been doing it all your life. Well, I can't promise I'm going to have something unless I know I'm going to have it. Well, that's just not true. You've never practiced that. How many of you have ever bought a house? Raise your hand. Okay, now you folks that didn't bought a house, you bought a car. I guess all of you paid cash for everything you got. Y'all are wealthy people here. When I bought my first house, it was financed for 30 years. 30 times 12. 360 months. I told that bank, sign my name to it. Y'all don't even sign names to faith. I signed my name to it. I told them I'd have my payment there every month, not for a year, for 30 years. Did I know I was going to have a job? Did I know that I was going to have perfect health so I'd never miss work and fall behind? No. I did it by faith. But when it comes to God, we get all super holy Joe, and well, you know, preacher, listen, let's just trust God, amen? It's a reasonable thing. And then last of all, is faith promise giving scriptural? I'm sorry, successful. Is it successful? I wish I got five. Oh, I got 7 minutes. Praise the Lord. I've never liked to give a lot of figures and statistics, especially if it relates to me or our church, but I don't know how else to say it, so I hope God doesn't take my reward away. Amen. Let me tell you about a church that was meeting in a storefront building, and a young pastor who was really a green. I mean, he was young, and I only had 2 years in. I finished my college while I was in pastoring. Well, you already knew who I'm talking about now, and. But you probably already knew anyway. But I had over 2 years ago in Bible college when I started pastoring this group of people in a storefront building. And when I got there, and these are the only records I could find here a few years ago when I tried to look them up. But in 1979, when I went to the church, they were giving $235 a month, which is less than $3,000 a year, in missions. Now, they didn't know anything about, they didn't have faith promise. They may knew about it, but they didn't have it. They just gave it out of the general fund, and usually it was about 15% of the offerings. Well, the second year I was there, I'd been given faith promise, and I thought, Lord, I believe you bless a church that's trying to do what you've called us to do in world evangelism. So I presented. I had a man come in. I forgot his name now. If I could think of it, three-fourths of you would know him. You remember Diane? Anyway, who? No, I know him, but anyway, it doesn't make any difference. He came in and presented faith promise. Well, immediately our missions doubled. It just doubled. And so what we did for the next 3 years, we dropped back our regular giving to 15%, to 10%, to 5%, to zero, and just let Faith Promise take care of all of our missions, and we never gave. And then in 1993, instead of giving $3,000 a year, we were up to $75,000 a year. And that's about a 20-fold increase through Faith Promise giving. Now, we were out working hard trying to evangelize people in our community, and God was adding to our church. You know, I'm not trying to be logical or reason out whatever, but you know, if I was, and I'm not God, y'all better be glad. But I'm thinking, just practically speaking, if I wanted the name of my son and what he did at Calvary's Cross known around the world, and I had a group of people that wanted the same thing I wanted, I just kind of think I might, and I had the ability to do so, I'd probably bless them, because I know what they're going to do and how they're going to get the gospel and get my son's name. I just think I'd bless them. I know that's not the only reason God blesses us. And then time went on, and we were taking on 3 to 6 missionaries every year. And when I went there, they were giving them $35 apiece. And we immediately, if we'd had enough money, we could have taken on, say, 5 missionaries. We only took on 3. And we took the other amount and added it to everybody. So we kept building the amount up, you see. And you say, well, if you give less, you support more missionaries. You waste tens of thousands of dollars doing that. If you support missionaries, and I'm not being self-serving here, but if you support missionaries at greater amounts, that you have fewer missionaries, you'll get more missionaries to the field in the long run. You figure it out mathematically, and it'll show you that. But anyway, so we finally got it up to about $125 apiece, and our missionaries have our own church. Of course, we gave them much more, up to $1,100 a month, some of them. And so God was blessing Faith Promise. And I started having people coming to me, and they said, "Preacher," and by the way, this doesn't happen with a young Christian. It takes years for this to develop. But I had people come to me and say, "Preacher, I got a real Bible question here." And I said, "What is it?" "I don't know if I'm doing something wrong with my Faith Promise." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" They said, "My Faith Promise is now larger than my tithe and offering." I said, "There's nothing wrong with that, if that's what God wants you to give." Now, they weren't taken from their tithe or their offering. Listen, we went through a $3 million building program, and every time, I don't know how to explain this except God, every time it seemed like that we took on new missionaries, and because Faith Promise was increasing, our regular offering would increase. It's just really something. And we never had money to throw around. And of course, you don't supposed to do that anyway. But God always met our needs. And that group of people, when I left and resigned as pastor, they were giving $260,000 a year to missions. And you know what? God was honoring that. People told me, said, "Preacher, this has been one of the great blessings of my life. Thank you for not hiding it from me." Man, I tell you, my preacher taught me, I wished I'd learned it better from him, but he tried to teach me how to give. Giving is one of the great joys of life. And when you see God meet your needs so you can meet somebody else's needs, it's even greater. Amen. So today you have an opportunity to be involved in the greatest endeavor on planet Earth. You talk about interest and dividends and all that stuff, stock market, I don't care, under Trump, under a tadpole, doesn't matter who they're under. It doesn't even touch how God honors and blesses those who give. And every time you fill out a Faith Promise, sometimes I don't do this all the time, but sometimes I'll think about it. "Lord, I'm filling out my deposit slip, and I'm fixing to go give my Faith Promise to my church, and the deposit slip is going right into the bank of heaven. And one day you'll meet what you gave. And one day God's going to let you see the fruit of what your giving accomplished." This is a great day. Faith Promise Day is a great day. Amen. And I hope you've prayed, and I hope you'll say, "Lord, don't let me be tight with you." I mean, I'm not asking you to do something foolish in the flesh, but faith in the Spirit. Amen. And let God's Holy Spirit challenge you and stretch your faith, stretch your faith, stretch your faith. And you will grow in your faith. Guaranteed. Father, as we bring this particular service to a close, we pray the Spirit of God would touch our hearts as we think about the plan you have given us is wonderful. But it's too big for us, so you have to help us with it, and you do. You give us your power. And Father, you have given this church a good group of people. And God, so there's people here, and I believe they're willing, and I believe they want to send and sustain, and they want to pray, and they want to do things, and I appreciate that. And then you have blessed us with monies. Lord, the poorest person here in this building today, and I don't make light of that, is richer than over half of the world. We're blessed and don't know it. And most of us are overblessed. God in heaven, I pray that we'll use the monies that you have funneled to us, and maybe even more money you would give to us if we would let it go into a funnel and not just into our bucket. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you accomplish in this church on this day, Faith Promise Commitment Day, in Christ's name. Amen.